Welcome to Shiur Targum, Parshas Bo. As we've pointed out in the past, there are different versions of the Targum Onkelos. Again, very often there'll be a difference in different versions as to a word or even a phrase. And sometimes the differences between one version and the other version can really carry a significant weight. So one example thereof is Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chof Aleph, a pasuk that's familiar to us because it's the laning, the first day of Pesach. Vayikra Moshe l'chol zikne Yisrael vayomer aleihem. Moshe called all of the elders of Israel. He said to them, Mishchu ukchu lochem tzom l'mishpachoseichem v'shachatu ha-posach. Mishchu, pull and take for yourselves sheep for all of your families, and you will slaughter the Korban Pesach. What's Mishchu, pull? So if you look in the Targum Onkelos, the Targum Onkelos renders as follows. Ukra Moshe l'chosove Yisrael. Moshe called all of the elders, v'omar lohon, and he said to them, Negidu, which is the translation of pull. And then other versions of the Targum Onkelos, instead of using the word negidu, which means to pull, use the word is negidu, which is reflexive, and it means pull yourself. So negidu or is negidu, v'savu lochon min b'nei ona, take from the sheep, l'zara yoschon, for all of your generations, v'kusu pischa, and shech, and slaughter the Korban Pesach. What's the difference between negidu, pull, and is negidu, pull yourselves? So the question is what the word mishchu means in the pasuk. So Rashi, in translating the word mishchu, says, Mishi yesh lo tzon, yimshoch mishalo. Mishchu means that if you happen to be a sheep owner, so go and pull the sheep from yourselves. In other words, don't feel that you have to specifically go elsewhere to get the sheep. Take your own sheep. In other words, again, not everybody has their own sheep, but if you have your own sheep, it would be ideal to take your own sheep. And the implication of mishchu, pull the sheep, is take something that's in-house as opposed to looking to outsource. You know, you post something on Instagram, you know, looking for sheep. You know, don't do that. Go take from your own sheep and shech that. However, there is a drasha of Chazal, an interpretation of Chazal, which is actually quoted earlier by Rashi in this very perek. Back in Pasuk Vav, where the Pasuk is describing how they have to take the sheep, again, when the Rabban Shalom is communicating this to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hoyo lochem l'mishmeres ad arbos or yom l'chodesh hazeh. You should take the sheep on the 10th of Nisan, hold on to it to the 14th of Nisan. So Rashi there on v'hoyo lochem l'mishmeres writes, l'fi shehoyu shtufim b'avodas kochavim. Because the Jews at that time, unfortunately, in Egypt, were steeped in the worship of idolatry, Amar Lohem, so Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Mishchu ukhu lochem, pull and take for yourselves the sheep. Mishchu yedeichem me'avodah zarah. Pull in this context doesn't mean pull the sheep, says Rashi, but rather remove your hands, retract your hands from the avodah zarah, the idolatry with which you are involved. Ukhu lochem tzon shel mitzvah. And take for yourselves this sheep in order to perform the mitzvah. In other words, the term mishchu, pull, is less about taking the sheep and more about pulling yourselves away from the avodah zarah you were previously involved in, and instead, by virtue of slaughtering the Korban Pesach, dedicating yourselves to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's interesting, Rashi doesn't quote that on the actual pasuk of mishchu kulachem. Apparently Rashi understands that the simple pshat in mishchu simply means go and pull a sheep from the herd. It's referring to pulling the sheep, not pulling oneself. But Rashi earlier quotes the Midrashic interpretation of that pasuk. Mishchu means pull yourselves away, wean yourselves away from the Avodah Zarah. It would seem that the two different versions in the Targum Onkelos reflect these two different interpretations. Meaning, if we take the version of Onkelos that says Negidu, pull, just means pull something else, it means pull the sheep. If we take the version of Onkelos that has the word Isnegidu, the reflexive, pull yourselves, so that seems to be more in line with pulling yourselves away from Avodah Zarah, i.e. the idea that Rashi quotes from the Mechilta back in Pasuk Vav, right? So according to that version of the Targum understands that the simple pshat in the Pasuk is Mishchu, pull yourselves away from Avodah Zarah. The truth is, it's hard to understand if Mishchu simply means pull the sheep, why is that a necessary thing to say altogether? Of course you got to pull the sheep in order to be able to have the sheep in order to shecht it. The Yonasan ben Uziel explicitly embraces the interpretation of Mishchu as telling the Jews to pull themselves away from Avodah Zarah. He writes, Ukra Moshe l'chosav Yisrael, Moshe called all of the elders, V'omar lahon, he said to them, Negudu yedeichem mitavas mitzroi, pull your hands away from the abominations, from the idols of the Egyptians, and go ahead and shecht this Korban Pesach. So he clearly takes the position that that's the way to interpret the word Mishchu in line with the Mechilta. As we're talking about the Korban Pesach, one of the very, very important points to bring out when discussing the Targum is how exactly to translate the word Pesach. Right? Everybody knows, I think even the non-Jews in America know that the translation of Pesach is Passover, right? That's, you know, it says kosher for Passover on all of the products. Why does Pesach mean Passover? So, based on the Pasuk, a little bit later on, Perikid based Pasuk Chav Gimel, V'avar Hashem l'ngofes Mitzrayim, Hashem will pass to afflict the Jewish people, with the Egyptian people, with the Makas Becharos, God, so to speak, will see the blood that is placed on the Jewish homes. Ufasach Hashem al HaPesach. Pasach Hashem al HaPesach, Rashi brings an interpretation that means Ufasach v'dileg, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will skip over, he will pass over that particular entryway, that particular door of that particular house, he's going to skip it over, and he's not going to smite any of the people who are within that house. Hence the translation Passover from Pesach. However, consistently, the Targum Onkelos and the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, for that matter, most of the time as well, translates the word Pesach as related to the word for compassion. And just one example thereof is the pasuk we just mentioned. V'yiskelei Hashem l'mimcha yes mitzroi, God will reveal himself to smite the Egyptians. V'yechza yasdemo al shikfa v'al tren sipaya, he'll see the blood on the doorpost. V'yechos Hashem al tara, and God will have compassion on that entryway. I mean, it doesn't mean he'll have compassion on the frame, the door frame. It means he'll have compassion on the inhabitants of that house. He will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And consistently, whenever the term Pesach is used in Chumash, the Targum Onkelos translates the word Pesach as related to the word Chayus, to have compassion. And this comes out very, very clearly in Pasuk Chavav Chazayin a little bit later on in the same parak. Right, the pasuk anticipates that there'll come a day where your children will say to you, they'll ask you, "Mo havoda hazos lachem? What is the point of this worship for you?" And you shall say, "Zevach Pesach ul Hashem. It is a Pesach offering, a Pesach sacrifice to Hashem, asher posach al bote b'nei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, who was poseach over the houses of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim." So the Targum Onkelos renders this the same rune. You will say, "Davak Chayis, who called them Hashem, Zevach Pesach, a Korban Pesach." The Targum translates, "It is a sacrifice of compassion." It is a sacrifice of compassion. It reflects the compassion that Hashem had on us, D'chos al batei b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim. That God had compassion over the houses of the Jewish people in Egypt. The word Pesach means compassion. And, you know, that's consistently how the word is translated by the Targum Onkelos throughout, you know, throughout.
Is that because Pesach is passed over as too physical of a thing to describe to Hashem? Is that what Onkelos is?
So it's interesting. You know, we know we've quoted from the Rabbi Mar Nevuchim before, and the Ramban disagreed that you know, the Targum Onkelos is always looking to minimize you know, descriptions of God that are very physical in nature. So perhaps describing God as skipping over or passing over also might describe him in overly you know, humanistic terms. It's possible. It's possible. It's interesting to note that Rashi equivocates as to how to translate the word Pesach. You figure it's such a basic word, and such a basic commentator, you know, he would have a straightforward way of interpreting the word Pesach, but the truth is Rashi equivocates. Right? In the Pasuk we quoted before, in Chaf Gimel, where it describes God, Pesach Hashem ala Pesach, so Rashi there writes very simply, V'chomal, God will have compassion, which is exactly the same as the Targum Onkelos. V'yesh lomar v'dileg. And others say he will skip. So in other words, Rashi brings both interpretations, which is very, very fascinating, because if you look back, and Rashi in Pasuk Yud Gimel, in the same Perek, he seems to say something moderately different than what he writes just a few Pesukim later. Ufosachti. Here the Pasuk says, Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, V'ro'isi es adam ufosachti aleichem. I will see the blood and I will be poseach over you. So Rashi writes, V'chomauti, I will have compassion. Again, the Targum Onkelos. Where did the Targum Onkelos get this from? V'dom elo posoach v'himlit. He quotes a Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Lamed Aleph, that uses the root word posoach in the sense of having compassion or saving. Posoach v'himlit. V'ani omer, but I say, says Rashi, kopsicha loshon dilug ukfitza. Whenever the word Pesach is used, it always connotes skipping or jumping over. Ufosachti means medaleg hoya mibote Yisrael ubote Mitzrayim. Hashem, was jumping kaviyocho from the Jewish houses to the Egyptian houses. Shahayu shruyin zeh besoch zeh. They were all intermingled. There wasn't a Jewish ghetto. They were all mixed together. Vechein posoach v'himlit. And that's indeed the pasuk in Yeshaya that describes Hashem being engaging in posoach to save, means medalga umemauto mibein hamumosim, that Hashem will pull him out and, you know, save him from among the other people who have been killed or hurt in whatever calamity is being described over there. So Rashi, the way Rashi seems to say is that Onkelos understands it as compassion. I, however, says Rashi, am interpreting it as passing over.
I would have expected Rashi to say, usually, or I don't know what the rule is, but all times when he argues on Onkelos, he'll say, the Taruma, or
right.
What Onkelos is interrogating, but I say it in a different way. Here he doesn't even...
Right, it's interesting. He doesn't quote the Targum Onkelos, which, I mean, again... We've noted this on other occasions. Sometimes Rashi is very quick to say Kitargumo, but sometimes not always, even when he interprets in a way that is similar to the Targum Onkelos. What occurred to me is that Rashi perhaps is saying the following. It's not as if he's setting up Onkelos holds X, but I hold Y. Rashi is basically saying the literal interpretation of the word of Fosachti is I will jump over. Pesach literally means a carbon of jumping or of skipping. However, in context, jumping or skipping means saving and having compassion. Because in context, the Ribbono Shel Olam skipping over the Jewish houses is his way of having compassion and saving and protecting the inhabitants of those houses. So you know, there's the literal, the denotation of the word, and there's the connotation of the word. And it's not as if it's, you know, one or the other. You know, they're both true simultaneously. Literally, ufosachti means I will jump over, but it also has the connotation of I will be compassionate and I will save. And that's what Rashi is doing over here. He's not setting up, you know, there's this interpretation and that interpretation. It's two interpretations that are essentially the same, which then would lead him not to have to really deal with Unculus at all. Unculus, as we've seen before, sometimes translates not always a literal translation, but sometimes the spirit or the intent of the word. So the intent of Pesach, the intent of Fosachti, is to have compassion, to protect. It may mean literally, you know, to jump over or to skip, but, you know, it's, you wouldn't use the word Pesach to describe somebody playing hopscotch, right? In other words, it means to skip over in the context of protecting and saving somebody, you know, where everyone else is being subject to something very terrible.
I'm sorry. Question.
Yeah. Right, right. So what you're bringing out is that, you know, sometimes you can have two different, slightly different interpretations of something, but at the end of the day, they kind of come together and they're really expressing the same idea, you know, at the end of the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm confused in the sense that previously, with the Marcos, etc., you hear about the Jews living separately. They're
right.
Totally, they were not, they maybe were forced to, on their own, they lived in their own city, and they didn't mingle. And all of a sudden here, they're saying they're mingling, they're living together, and they fought, instead of having their own clothing, and their own names, you know, which kept them separate,
right.
All of a sudden they're intermingled, and they now are using idolatry.
Okay, so let's separate different parts of this. So there was no indication and anything we said that the Jews were dressing like the Egyptians or using the same names as the Egyptians or the like. It is interesting to note that they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, which, you know, leads us to the following conclusion. Again, Chazal wax eloquent about how, you know, the Jews didn't change their names, they didn't change their language, they didn't change their clothing, but yet they seem to be worshipping Avodah Zarah. What I think emerges from the picture that Chazal are painting for us, and it's a picture that, for better or for worse, in America we can relate to very, very well, is that the Jews in Mitzrayim were very culturally Jewish, but they were not very religiously Jewish, right? In other words, you know, they all had Jewish names, they all had Jewish clothing, they all spoke, you know, Yiddish. I assume it was Yiddish, right? And but you know, they worshipped idols. Okay, so religiously they were very far off, but culturally they maintained their identity, and that was important. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal has a very interesting tshuva. He was asked by someone about whether it's a prohibition to have a secular name. So the person said, you know, Chazal talk about how the Jews didn't change their names in Egypt. So Rav Moshe says, yeah, that was before Matan Torah, before they had mitzvahs. They needed something to bind them together on a cultural level. But now that we have mitzvahs, mitzvahs is what keeps us together. In other words, you know, we find that the Rishonim, you know, very often had non-Jewish names. So, I mean, the Rambam is Rav Moshe ben Maimon. Okay, Moshe's a Jewish name. Maimon probably isn't a Jewish name. You know, one of the Tosfos is Rabbeinu Peter, right? Peter, you know. So we find that the Rishonim already had non-Jewish names that they used. So on the one hand, you do have that depiction. What's interesting about this Rashi is that Rashi describes the Jews living amongst the Egyptians, right? In other words, it was not a ghetto. They were, you know, there was one Jewish house, one Egyptian house, one Jewish house, one Egyptian house. How does that fit in with the idea of the Jews living in a particularly Jewish area in Goshen? So I think, again, first of all, it would be interesting to note if this is Rashi's own interpretation or whether, you know, there's a broader basis for this. What I mean by this, remember, Rashi comes to this interpretation because he interprets the word ufosachti as I will skip over, right? Skipping over implies that the Jewish and the Egyptian homes are in close proximity. If you don't interpret the word ufosachti as I will skip over, you may not have to come to that conclusion that the Jewish and Egyptian homes were in close proximity to one another. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to distinguish, okay, so there, you know, there's one street which is the Jewish street, you know, the Judengasse, and then, you know, the non-Jews live a couple of blocks away. I mean, you know, that could be. But, again, working within Rashi, what emerges is the following very interesting idea. The Jews lived in Goshen. Good, we know the Jews lived in Goshen, and they specifically lived in Goshen. But was Goshen 100% Jewish? So it emerges from Rashi that while Goshen was the Jewish area, but there were plenty of non-Jews who lived in the area as well. Is that strange? No. I mean, think of every frum neighborhood in New York, right? In other words, there's no neighborhood in New York which is exclusively Jewish. Sometimes it may feel like it, but I mean, it's not actually true. You know, we're, you know, every single last person, you know, is Jewish. It's always a mixture. So even Goshen, which was the Jewish area, wasn't exclusively Jewish according to Rashi, and there were plenty of non-Jewish homes that were mixed in as well, you know, in close proximity to the Jews. That's what emerges, which you would not have thought necessarily, you know, reading some of the Pesukim back in the end of Sefer Bereishis, but again, that's what seems to emerge according to Rashi.
This is for me, this is a good time to ask a question I've always wondered about. Does the Torah specify the name of the Yontov of Pesach as Pesach?
Or
do we come to call Pesach for a reason which, I mean, I understand that, you know, the reasoning, but I often wonder why the reference to the death of the firstborn is always...
Right, it's actually very interesting. So the Torah actually never uses the term Pesach in referring to the holiday. Meaning the Torah does use the term Pesach in referring to the Karbon, right? The sacrifice is called the Karbon Pesach, but the Yontiv, which we refer to as Pesach, is always referred to as the Chag HaMatzos, right? Notice it's always the Yontiv of Matzah. I think there's a word from the Kedushas Levi, from Rabbi Yitzchok Berditchever, where he says, you know, the Torah calls that holiday Chag HaMatzos, we refer to it as Pesach. Why? Because we have the most beautiful relationship with God. God talks about the holiday insofar as what we did for him. What did we do for him? You know, we ran out of Egypt so quickly with so much faith that the dough didn't have time to rise and we ate matzah. So he refers to our fidelity in talking about the Chag HaMatzos. We, when we talk about the holiday ourselves, we refer to it as Pesach because we think of the kindness that God did for us by jumping over our houses and by sparing us. So every party to the relationship is focusing on what the other person is doing or has done that's so beautiful and wonderful. I think the Kedushas Levi says like that, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
So I can understand the difference between when you use the word pasakti as a verb,
right,
to pesach as a noun, because right, a lot of words in Hebrew, when you use the pesach, it depends what you use pesach with.
Right.
So korban pesach, right, makes sense, chemla.
Right.
But ufasakti cannot be el hamalti.
Why not?
You can be both, but I'm saying...
No, why can't it be el hamalti?
Because you will say el hamalti, I don't know.
No, but that's what it means. In other words, according to the Targum Onkelos, again, the Targum Onkelos translates the words ufasakti aleichem as ve'echos aleichem. That's literally, that's the Targum Onkelos says, you know, in terms of translating the pasuk. So that's how he understands. Fasakti means v'chamalti, and literally, that's how Rashi renders that particular verb. We're so used to thinking Passover. You know, you would have to start calling the holiday the compassion holiday, right? You know, which would be a little bit weird. You know, we'd have a hard time explaining that to everybody. But again, according to according to the Targum Onkelos, that's what the word means.
We always translate it as Peh Sach.
Yeah, okay, well that's that's a
because that's the whole idea.
That's a nice drush, you know, for the Leila Seder, but I mean that's not what the word actually means. We were suggesting a moment ago that within Rashi is basically saying that v'chamalti and v'dilagti, I will have compassion. And I will jump over, essentially saying the same thing. In other words, perhaps the word of posakti literally means vidilakti. I will skip over, I will jump. But again, it's not, you know, if you were, as we put it, you know, if you're playing hopscotch, you wouldn't say, ufosakti. You know, it has the connotation of jumping over, saving, you know, protecting, and the like. That seems to emerge as well from the translation of the Yonasan ben Uziah, which I think is unique. In Pasuk Chav Gimel, where it says, Ufasach Hashem ala Pesach, right? Which again, you know, God will have compassion over the door. But by the way, you know, according to the Targum Onkelos, again, as we pointed out, clearly God isn't having compassion on the door, right? And that's also a turn of phrase. You know, God will have compassion on the inhabitants of the house behind that particular door. So the Yonasan ben Uziah on that pasuk writes, "The Yagain Meimra Dashem Al Tara." God's word will protect that door. He renders the word ufosach as the Yagain. He will protect, you know, like a mogain, like a shield. He will shield over that particular door. I think it's hard to say that the Yonasan ben Uziah understands that as being the literal translation of ufosach, because what would be the source? Where else in Tanakh do we find that ufosach means, you know, v'higanti, you know, that v'ani ogein, that I'm going to protect. I'm not aware of another place. You know, at least for the other two interpretations, you know, to be poseach in the sense of jumping or skipping. So Rashi quotes a pasuk from Sefer Melachim. Ad Moshe atem poschim al shtei ha'si'ipim. Eliyahu HaNavi says to the Jewish people by Har HaKarmel, how long are you going to keep jumping back and forth between the two poles? So in other words, we see that lifsoach means to jump, to skip. And we quoted already earlier that in terms of Pesach meaning compassion. So also Rashi quoted a pasuk from Yeshaya, posoach the himlet, you know, that he will save and he will have compassion. I'm not sure if there's a makor, if there's a source for the idea of the word Pesach meaning to protect. So where did the Targum Yonasan ben Uziah get it from? So I think the idea is the Targum Yonasan ben Uziah is translating the sense rather than the literal translation. Meaning, what does it mean that God's going to, you know, be poseach? It means that he's going to protect the people inside the house. Does it literally mean he's going to jump over? Does it literally mean that he's going to have compassion? It could mean either of those, right? But, you know, the sense of it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure that the people inside the house are protected. So at the end of the day, all of these different translations may all be correct. You know, some of them are a little bit more literal. Some of them capture to a greater extent the overall intent of what the pasuk is meant to convey. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lizakos es Yisrael.